Well, if you've got a Bible with you this morning, you can turn to John chapter 11. And let me just start off by saying, Happy Easter. It is a privilege to have you with us this morning. My name's Ken. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is always wonderful to have you here. And on this special day, this is, I always say, this is like the Super Bowl for Christians, right? This is like, and I have to be careful because this excites me so much that I could just preach for hours, but you guys are lucky we have another service. So I have to finish at least at a certain amount of time. But it is exciting to have you here and to celebrate with this morning. Have you ever in your life had the wind knocked out of you? How many of you have ever had that happen, that experience? Oh man, look at all of you guys. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, really knocked out of you. When it happens, it leaves you gasping for breath. And to be quite honest, how many of you ever had that experience where the wind gets knocked out of you and you literally think, I think I'm going to die? Anybody? Anybody have that experience? Yeah. And you know, I remember one time having the wind knocked out of me on the football field. And I got hit so hard that I not only was down, but I as I got to my feet, I staggered around and I'm heading towards the wrong sideline. Okay? Because, I just got it knocked out of me. And thankful for a teammate who came over and said, okay, Ken, obviously you don't know what's going on. And he walked me back to the right sideline. And I'm still just gasping and gasping and gasping because that elusive air that brings us life just wasn't happening in my lungs that day. I remember the first time that I had the wind knocked out of me. The very first time it happened, I had gotten a pogo stick for Christmas. Any pogo people in here? Yeah. And I had dreams. I had dreams and aspirations of Olympic gold in the pogo. Okay, and so I would get out there in the backyard on the patio, and I would just pogo, you know. And I know you, today you're looking at me going, yeah, I can tell that you're probably a pogo, you know, expert, right? But man, back when I was little, man, I had this pogo stick, and I would go. And, if you had a pogo, you count. And you're just like counting how many bounces you can have, right? And so I got up to 100, and then I got up to 200. And I remember one day I was going for a personal best. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to get this thing down. And I'm heading for the 300 mark, and I'm just pogoing. And all of a sudden I go off the sidewalk, and I start pogoing up the driveway. I'm pogoing up the driveway, and I hear this voice out of the garage, this very, very wise voice that happens to be here this morning. Hi, Dad. And I hear this voice out of the garage say, don't pogo on the driveway. And I'm thinking, well, Dad just doesn't understand how good I am at this, right? Well, what Dad did know is that the steepness of the driveway and the angle isn't conducive to really good pogoing. And so I pogo up the driveway thinking, oh, Dad doesn't know what he's talking about. And I just keep pogoing up the driveway. And what do you know? The next thing I know, my head hits the concrete. And the last thing I see is my dad running towards me. And then everything went black. I'm gasping for breath and everything goes black, and I'm thinking to myself at the ripe old age of 10, this is it. I'm gonna die right here, you know. And it goes black. Well, when I wake up to my dad who's yelling at me, and then as soon as my eyes open up, he flips me over and gives me a swat right on the rear side, and he says, don't you ever do that again. You scared me to death. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, I'm the one who just stopped breathing here. Can I get a little sympathy, right? Can I get some sympathy this morning? And I'm thinking to myself, why did I just get a swat? And it wasn't just because of my disobedience. It was because of the love of the Father. And I scared him. And I scared him. And you know, I realize that oftentimes we get the wind knocked out of us. You know, what's interesting, the word in the Bible for air or wind is the same word that is used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament for spirit. For spirit. Have you ever felt like you got the spirit knocked out of you? That you've just got it knocked completely out of you. And for sure, there have been times when it felt like not just the physical wind has gotten knocked out of me, but I feel like the life, like the spirit, the air that makes me move and breathe just got knocked out of me. And maybe for you, you've experienced this. Maybe you finally got that job that you wanted or the job that you needed. And then you heard words like, "We're sorry, but because of the cutbacks, your position's been eliminated." And pow! You get that gut punch that just takes the wind out of you. Or maybe you got into a relationship, and at the beginning of the relationship, it was all like, all you could see is roses and rainbows and every other good thing. And you're just, this is going to be amazing. And then after time, there's tension, there's harsh words. And the next thing you know, you get that gut punch because a relationship that you thought was supposed to be that thing in your life just punches you right in the gut. Maybe you heard something like the test results aren't what you hoped for. Maybe it's a big financial mistake that you've made. Maybe you failed a test. Maybe you had a child that ran amok. And it's just like a gut punch, and you feel like the wind, like the spirit has just got knocked out of you. I have to admit, This last year, I got the wind knocked out of me in a very, very real way. As I stood by helplessly and watched my little sister lose a 12-year battle with cancer. And it left me, I'll be honest, it left me just gasping for breath, heartbroken. But let me tell you something this morning. During her last few days, what was amazing was it only strengthened my trust in the Lord and increased my faith in the promise of this thing we celebrate today called the resurrection. Because of the power of the resurrection, we can stare death straight in the face with all confidence and with peace. And I have to tell you this morning that it's because of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that I can say with all confidence that while it may appear that she lost a battle with cancer, today she is walking victoriously with her Savior. And I truly believe that. And the thing is that I will always remember is just the day before she passed, we were sitting in the hospital, and she's surrounded by family and surrounded by her kids. And she just looked at all of us and she says, "Look, there's going to come a time when you feel like you need to shake your fist at God and say, 'Hey, God, why? Why did this happen? Why did this go this way?'" She says, "But don't do it, because God is good. And remember this, we win." We win. Do you believe that this morning? We win because of the power of the resurrection. I think we all know what it feels like to have the life just knocked out of us, for the legs just swept out from under us. But the amazing thing on this Easter morning is that I hope that together we can discover that Jesus' resurrection means not only that we have hope for the life after this one, but we have hope for the life today. In the areas that maybe have knocked the wind out of us, Jesus brings us hope. Today we celebrate the most amazing event in all of history. We celebrate the day that the one who was crucified on a Roman cross, dead, buried, 3 days later, came alive. Do you realize the power of that? And to kind of see how Jesus not only was resurrected by God himself, but wants us to experience the power of the resurrection, we're going to take a look at one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's found in John chapter 11. The story is about three of Jesus' closest friends. They're two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they have their brother Lazarus. Their brother Lazarus is sick, and he's not just kind of sick. He doesn't have the snivels, he doesn't have the flu or anything like that. He's on his deathbed. And Jesus is in a town that's not too far away. And so they send for Jesus because Mary and Martha and Lazarus have seen Jesus before, and they've seen him heal people. They've seen him heal the sick and raise the lame people to give sight to the blind. They've seen all this. And so they send for their friend Jesus, believing that he will come and he'll heal their brother who's sick. Now, Jesus gets the message. Okay, they send the messenger off, and Jesus gets the message, and because he loves his friends, he hears the message, and he immediately goes to heal Lazarus, right? No, see, some of you know the story. See, in verse 6 of chapter 11, it says this: "So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to the disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.'" What's interesting, if you take a look at this, and you can go home and read this later, it says Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And you're thinking, hey, I mean, I've gotten those phone calls before where it's like somebody that you love is ill, somebody that you love needs help, and you go immediately, and I'm thinking, Jesus, what's going on here? Jesus, what's happening? And Jesus says, hey, this sickness, it won't end in death. And that's a key. It won't end there. Now you look down, skip down a little bit, verse 17, and Jesus finally, after a couple of days of waiting, he goes. He goes there, and on his arrival, it says in verse 17, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He'd already been in the tomb. The first sister, Martha, she comes out to greet Jesus. And listen to the conversation as the conversation starts here with Jesus in verse 20. It says, "When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.'" You see, when Jesus says your brother will rise again, what Martha is thinking about, Martha's thinking, oh, okay, I understand that. I know that if we put our trust in you, if we put our faith in you, if we believe that you are this Messiah, the Son of God, that in the last day, there will be this resurrection and we will come back to life. And she knows that, and she's thinking, you know, okay, I get it, but Lazarus, you know, that's going to happen later. That's going to happen someday. And someday we'll be in heaven with you, Lord. But then Jesus tells Martha, resurrection is not just for the future. Jesus is in the business of resurrecting things in the here and now. Look at verse 25 and 26. Okay, this is the crux of this passage. It says this: "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though he dies, or will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die.'" And then he says this: "Do you believe this?" Do you believe this? Jesus tells her that he is the resurrection. Jesus wasn't just resurrected. He is the resurrection. Our faith hinges upon this truth. And Jesus was, in fact, raised from the dead. And about today, as we mentioned earlier, 2.5 billion people around the globe today will celebrate this fact. And they have been celebrating this for 2,000 years. And we stand in this long lineage of history that says we believe this, that Jesus walked out of the tomb, and because Jesus was resurrected, that we have the promise that one day we too will be resurrected to live with him forever. But notice this, that Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the" what? "The life." I am the resurrection and the life. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking, aren't those two the same? And then as I started to think about this, I realized resurrection. We all know that one day we will be resurrected if we believe in him. But Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and I'm the life." And the life is for now. The life is for today. The life is for us, not just down the road somewhere. The life is for us today. And the reality is that he is here to give us life. See, he doesn't just want us to wait until we're dead, okay, to breathe life into us. He wants to breathe life into you now. And whatever it was that has knocked the wind out of you or knocked the life out of you, Jesus can help put the wind back in your sails. And he wants to see you come alive. And that's really the theme for us today, that he wants us to come alive, not just someday, but today. Because Jesus came alive, you and I can come alive again. But all this hinges on the most important question. This really is the crux of Easter. It's this big question that Jesus asked Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha, do you believe this?" And as people gather all over the world today to celebrate Easter, it comes down to the same question. Jesus is asking the same question he asked Martha. He's asking us today, here and now. And it's not just a group question, it is an individual one. Do you believe this? Not just do your parents believe this? Not did your ancestors believe it? Not does your spouse believe it? Not does the church that you attend believe this? The question is personal. It's do you believe this? You see, because if you do, then the power of his Easter resurrection is available to you, not just after you die someday, but it's available to you now, today. And the problem is that many of us want just enough Jesus to help us come to life later. When Jesus is saying, no, I want you to come to life today, now, here, in this place, in your home, in your neighborhood. I want you to come alive in your workplace. I want you to breathe life and breathe it deeply. I think a lot of us are like, well, we're kind of like Christian zombies. Anyone into the zombie thing? Sean mentioned it this morning at our sunrise service. But zombies are like, well, you know, I mean, they're like walking dead. They're not really dead. They're not really alive. They just wander around, and they're wandering around, and all they do is go, ugh. Right? I mean, they can't even talk. They just kind of grunt, right? And I see, unfortunately, that there's a lot of Christians that maybe are kind of like half alive. They can't quite decide in terms of their faith. Are they fully alive? Are they kind of dead? Are they a little bit alive? Where are they? And Jesus wants us to experience like real life in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says this. He says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Have it to the full. He wants to fill you with life. And here he uses this incredible Greek word in the text in John 10:10. There's three different words in the Greek language that he could have chosen that mean life. But this one is very, very specific. It's the word zoe. Zoe, and it means to thrive. Okay, Jesus doesn't want us to just survive, just to get by. He doesn't want you to have a little life or half a life. He wants you to thrive in life. He wants you to completely thrive. The tense of this verb can mean to make one stand up again. When you've been knocked down by life, when the wind has been knocked out of you, when the spirit has been knocked out of you, Jesus says he wants you to stand again. And Jesus can make you stand again in the midst of anything that happens in your life. Do you believe this morning, church? Do you believe this? See, and then the story goes on and Martha goes now and she gets Mary. And Mary comes back and in verse 27, in verse 32, Mary comes, and when Mary kind of meets up with them, it says when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She does the exact same thing the sister did, right? "Jesus, if you only would have hurried up, if you only would have got here sooner, if you only would have been here, my brother would not have died." And then it goes on and says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And then we've got what we all think is that, you know, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. It says, Jesus wept. And that's important for us this morning. See, because Jesus knows your tears. He's shed tears like yours before. This little word for wept kind of to me is kind of a too light of a translation for this. If you really take a look at that passage, it means Jesus broke down and sobbed. Never, ever think that Jesus is somehow too far removed from your pain or that he's indifferent to your suffering. You see, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Jesus knows what it's like to get the wind knocked out of him. He knows what it's like to have been beaten. He knows what it is like to have lost loved ones. He knows what it is like to have people turn his back on him. It goes on in verse 88 and it says, Jesus, once more deeply moved. Okay, so Jesus didn't just kind of cry for a second and then, okay, I'm all good, let me do my Savior thing. He continued to be moved at what was happening here. And it says he came to the tomb and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Does that sound familiar? It's going to happen in just a couple weeks with Jesus. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days. It's awesome. It, for those of you who read or like the King James Version, I love the King James translation. Martha says, Lord, no, by now he stinketh. How many of your lives, maybe sometime in this last year, could be summarized by just saying, it stinketh? Anybody? Anybody go through some time where you're just like, you know, Lord, right now, it just stinketh. You see, but here's the great news, is Jesus doesn't care how bad it stinketh in your life. Because he knows the power that he has. He knows the end of the story. And then Jesus turns to them, and here's what he says in verse 40. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. Boy, is that not something we need to hear today? He always hears. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, I love the fact that some of the commentators point out in this passage that Jesus was very, very specific here. Remember, we said, you know, the question, do you believe, is very individual? Well, so is your resurrection. Jesus knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what knocked the wind out of you. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. And he says, Ken, come out of that. See, I love the fact that the commentators say, hey, Jesus was probably in like a graveyard. So he had to be very specific, because what if Jesus would have just walked up and said, come out? He could have had hundreds of dead people coming out of the tombs. It could have been a mass resurrection. But Jesus was very specific about what he wanted to have happen there. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. Verse 44, it says this. The dead man came out. The dead man came out. See, that's something that dead people don't usually do. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with the strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, at Jesus' word, the dead man was resurrected. But did you notice this? That even though he was alive, he was still bound up. He was still bound. Each one of you this morning when you came in, I hope you got one of these, a little piece of cloth. If you didn't, you can just grab a piece of paper or something that you have with you. And this morning, this little piece of cloth is pretty significant. You see, because even though the dead man came to life, there was still something wrapped around him. There was still something holding him back. There was still something that was binding him. And maybe this morning, that's happening in your life. In fact, I would venture to guess that every single one of you this morning has a place in your life where you're still bound up. You see, Jesus maybe he brought life to you a long time ago. You know, maybe it was when you were a kid and you said yes to Jesus and you were excited about the future and you know that you're going to be in heaven one day. But maybe life has just happened. Maybe life has happened and even though you know that Jesus is going to resurrect you someday, that you're not living life to the fullest now because you've got something that's wrapping you up. And my encouragement to you this morning is there's pens all over the place at the end of each aisle, and you can pass them around. Just go ahead and pass them down. And I want you this morning to take a few moments and ask yourself this question. What's still binding you in your life? And just write it on, we're going to just call this our grave cloth this morning. Just write it down. Maybe you're bound up by depression. Maybe you're bound by fear. Maybe you're wearing the grave clothes of anger, bitterness, or addiction in your life. Write it down. Write it down, because when you name it, you, with the help of your Lord, can deal with it. But if we can't name it, if we can't say, this is what's binding me, then it will just continue to bind you. And you might be resurrected someday, but will you be able to live today? You see, Jesus' resurrection power means that yes, we can be resurrected and live with him forever, but he wants you to experience life now. Maybe you're wrapped up by busyness. Oh, busyness. Busyness because your self-worth is all wrapped up in what you do or in your net worth. Maybe you're being suffocated by secrets. Maybe you have the grave clothes of sickness, physical illness that's just dragging you down. Write it down. Write it down. What is it that's binding you this morning? Maybe it's the need for acceptance of others that's got you in bondage. I mean, you can barely move sometimes because you just wonder, what's everyone going to think? What are they going to think of me? Maybe you even do things that you know you shouldn't do because you want to be accepted. And maybe that is your grave clothes this morning. What grave clothes are you wearing today? Write it down. Write it down. Because here's what Jesus wants for you on this Easter. Jesus wants you to know that the celebration of resurrection, because Jesus came alive, can happen in your life today, now, when he can bring you back to life, that he can take whatever it is. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's something else. Like I said, maybe it's a kid that's just totally run amok. Write it down. Because here's what Jesus wants to do today. Maybe it's worry. Here's what Jesus wants to do today. He wants to free you from it. Like he said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, here's the good news this morning. The good news of Easter is this. Jesus was raised from the dead. But Jesus also has the power to take the grave clothes off of us today and say, let him go. Turn him loose. Let them experience life to the fullest. And that's what he wants for you today. He doesn't want you to walk out of this door holding on to this, tucking it in our pocket and saying, I hope nobody saw that. What he wants you to do this morning is he wants you to leave this place without that. He wants you to take the grave clothes off and drop it and let him be God, the God that will help you come alive. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing. We're going to close the service with some amazing words in these songs. But as we sing, my invitation to you is this. Will you take your grave clothes and will you just, while we're singing, okay, and you won't be alone, while you're singing, just come up and drop it at the altar. And then today you can walk out of here and you can come alive being freed from what it is that's knocked the wind out of you, from what it is that's knocked the life out of you. Will you let go of it today and let Jesus resurrect you and bring you to life today? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of life. And Father, we thank you for the power of resurrection and the power that you have not just to resurrect us someday, but the power that you have to resurrect us today, to breathe life in us today, to help us get rid of the grave clothes today so that we can walk out of this place completely alive and experiencing life the way you want us to. Father, help us let go of the things that bind us. And Father, show your power in our lives. Lord, you are good. We trust you, Father. We believe in you, and we believe that you have the power to help us come alive. We love you, Lord. Amen.